Hi, you're listening to the weekly podcast of Life Ministry Church. For more information, head to our website, www.lmc.org.au.
This morning, I think it might be the last one, but then there might be one more. So we just got to hang loose and just see. But this is week 7 in the Chasing After God series. And as I've said, every start of every message, and I'm going to continue to say it, if we want to see the power of God outworked in our lives, which is the whole desire, whole passion that I have in just doing this series, that we want to see that power that we know is there, that many of us have seen happen in times past, that seems to be at a little bit of a lull in some areas, we need to see it break through again. And so it's time to chase after God with a new vigour and a new enthusiasm, believing for, but also just pushing harder just to see God move in our lives. So Hebrews 12, 1-2, let us throw off everything that hinders, the sin that so easily entangles. Let us run with perseverance the race marked out for us. Let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author. And this morning, it's the perfecter of our faith. In Matthew 6, 33, but first and most importantly, seek, aim at, strive after his kingdom, his righteousness, his way of doing and being right, the attitude and the character of God, and all these things will be given to you. So if our heart is towards God, if we're seeking after God, then what we're saying, what we're talking about in this series, what we've been talking about all year through all the messages that we've heard will happen, and what the Bible says will happen. So in week 1, we looked at preparing ourselves to come into the presence of God, just getting our focus right, making certain that our priorities are right. In week 2, we focused on dying to self, taking self off the throne, making certain that it's not all about me, but it is about God. In week 3, it was imitating, inquiring of God. Who are we following? Who are we listening to? Who are we allowing to permeate our beings? You know, if we listened to the media, if we listened to the press, if we read the newspapers and believed everything they said, then we would be allowing them to rob us of what the Bible says is true. In week 4, it was all about the ark. How are we going to? How do we handle the holiness and the glory of God? Do we do it with respect? Do we do it with honor? Do we obey God's word? In week 5, it was seeing God's face, just encountering God's face, encountering God's favor and his blessing. And then last week, it was the purpose of his presence, being surrounded by that divine radiation zone, taking it out into our workplaces, seeing God manifest himself in people's lives, even when we don't have to open our mouths. They just know that they know that they know that there's something different. And then this morning, releasing the power. Now, I've said it before, and I'll say it again, I'm frustrated. Not frustrated in an ugly way, not frustrated in a way that gets me upset, but frustrated that the things that we see in the Bible and the things that we read in the Bible and the things that we have seen, many of us, in times past, are not happening in the degree and the way that God's word promises. And so my prayer is, God, I want to see miracles. Not for me, but I want to see miracles like you promised. Because I know that the Bible says that people will believe because of what they see. You know, if we were seeing people raised from the dead right now, this church would be chock-a-block full. In fact, cemeteries would be empty. Okay? This would be the place where people would be coming because they would hear what God was doing. I was with a family during the week. We had the joy of sharing, and we were talking about some of the things that happened in days gone past, and we were talking about the charismatic move. And when I came out of the Methodist Church, joined LMC back there in 1974-75, it was because in the church I was in, nothing was happening. But in LMC and in the charismatic churches, God was moving. And it was as if you tended to go to church to see God move. You believed God was going to heal people. You believed that you were going to see deliverances. It didn't surprise you at the end when you saw teeth getting filled and legs growing, etc., etc. We would just travel from meeting to meeting to meeting. In a way, it was a bit of a, we just want to have a look. But in another way, it was exciting. It was incredible to see God moving. You know, to go into the Melbourne Town Hall, to go into meetings, just everywhere and anywhere, we were looking and chasing what God was doing. Now, of course, that brought with it, I think, abuse. because commitment left. People were just going everywhere. But what was happening was that the churches of that day, the churches that I grew up in, that were denying the power of the Holy Spirit, denying the things of God in the way that we were seeing, people were hungry, people were searching, and that's what grew this church. You know, Pastor Oxy and the elders at that time would encourage people to be in their own churches in the morning, and then at 3 o'clock in the afternoon, LMC, or Christian Life Center as it was at the time when I joined, it was chock-a-block full. Tuesday night Bible school was the biggest meeting. It was just amazing times. And so we're in a lull. Now, I don't think that's because of us here. I think it's just everywhere. There seems to be this quiet time. But we don't have to sit there and wait for it to break open. We can start to pray. We can start to believe. We can start to talk about it. And so that's what we're doing right now. In John 14, verse 12, it says this: I tell you the truth, anyone who believes in me will do the same works I have done, and even greater works, because I'm going to be with my Father. Jesus knew that we were going to be filled with the power of his Spirit. He told us that. He said, better that I go and send you the Comforter. He knew what was going to happen. And therefore, he knew that what he was promising was going to be possible, because it wouldn't be us doing it. It wouldn't be our human flesh doing it. It wouldn't be our weak, unbelieving selves. We'd be filled with the Spirit to the point that the Spirit within us was the one that was going to do the works that God was telling us. And so everybody in this auditorium this morning who is a Christian has the power of the Holy Spirit. Now, whether you're using all that power or not is a point in question. But you all have the seed of the Holy Spirit within you. Now, who knows what these are? All the kids would know what these are, because they go out the back. Isn't that a beautiful acorn? Don't you reckon? That's mine. I'm keeping that. They go out the back and they climb that acorn tree or the oak tree out there. And last week at family lunch, my grandchildren came home and they had 140 of these. Praise God. They went about distributing them right through the house. 140 of them. Then after lunch, we played Find the Acorns. We're missing about 20 at the moment. Okay. Radha, can you do me a favour? Radha, I'd like you to go and give an acorn to every young person that's here. Okay, now, do you notice I said young person? So it depends on... I'm a young person, Radha. Yeah, that means me, thank you. So, yeah, but start with the children first, okay, so I don't run out. Just hold it in your hand. Don't throw it. Don't eat it. Just keep it, okay? And you'll know why as we do that. Thanks, Radha. Let's read what the Bible says about us and about what we've been given. In 2 Peter 1, 1 to 3, to those who through the righteousness of our God and Saviour Jesus Christ have received a faith as precious as ours, grace and peace be yours in abundance through the knowledge of God and Jesus our Lord. His divine power has given us everything we need for life and godliness, through our knowledge of him who called us by his own glory and goodness. In Luke 10:19, it says, behold, I give you power to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. Then in Matthew 28:18, in the Great Commission, and I love that, a Great Commission, the commissioning that God gave us. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, this is Jesus saying it, therefore go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and his Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Then in 2 Corinthians 9 verse 8, and God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. In Matthew 10, 5 to 42. Now, we're going to read the whole lot, but this is a bit condensed. These 12 Jesus sent out with the following instructions. As you go, preach this message. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy. Now, leprosy could mean sin. Drive out demons. Freely you have received, now freely give. And then Philippians 4:19. And my God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus. And we often put that in the boat of money and finance and the things we need. But what about the need that we have to go out and do the things that God does and told us to do? So as we can see, we have the scriptural mandate. So why aren't we doing what Jesus told us to do? Why aren't we seeing more fruit than what we are at the moment? I thought that it'd be good to tease out some of the excuses and some of the reasons that we tend to make. Jesus said that he only did. Gee, you didn't give out that many. Thanks, Radha. Great job. Jesus said he only did what his father told him to do. And so we can't use not knowing what to do as an excuse, because we have the same access now to the Father that Jesus did. And we can hear from him via the Holy Spirit, just as Jesus did. I've heard the excuse, you know, Jesus was sinless and that's why he could do all the things that he did. Yeah, that's probably true. He was sinless. There's no doubt about that. But then Jesus knew our failings. He knew our weaknesses. And when he spoke the words that John wrote of in John 14:12, he didn't say that we had to be perfect. He just said we had to believe. And in telling us and commissioning us, as we've already read, he knew that we were going to receive the Holy Spirit. He knew that we were weak, fleshed people, but we were still commissioned to do that work. Maybe we have the diseases of some of the others in the Bible. You know, when I look at the life of Moses, the great deliverer of God's people, you know, it's amazing the excuses that Moses made to try and get out of doing what God wanted him to do. Now, these are not the message, but they're a little bit of my paraphrase here just to get it across. In Exodus 3:11, you know, Moses said, "Who am I? Why me? Why do I have to go? Can't you send somebody else?" How many people have been prompted to pray for somebody or to go and speak to somebody, and in the back of your brain, why me? Why do I have to go? Find somebody else, God. Or when I tell them God sent me, they will say, "What is name?" And what will I say to them? You know, what am I going to do? Or in Exodus 4, look, if I go up and start talking about God, they're not going to listen to me. God got a little frustrated with Moses. And he said, "Hey, look what you got in your hand, a rod. Throw it on the ground." That rod became a serpent. "Now pick it up by the tail," and it became a rod again. "Now put your hand inside your shirt." When he took it out, his hand had leprosy. "Now put it back in again," and it turned into flesh. If they don't believe the first or the second sign, take some water out of the river, pour it on the ground, and it will become blood. In short, don't worry about what's going to happen. Just trust me and let my power move through them. You know, that's one of the exciting things about listening to Serge on a Friday evening, as he's been sharing, and some of those videos that he's been giving us of the things that God has asked him to do. You know, the surprise on people's faces, the things that they say, the glitter that comes into their eyes, as all of a sudden that unbelief turns into belief because the pain is gone, or there's been a change take place. I love the fact that Serge doesn't let his own doubt or his own unbelief rob him from going out and doing the things that God has taught him to do. In Exodus 4, Moses said, God, I don't know how to speak. I'm not so good in tight situations. I get a little tongue-tied. God says, Graham Nelson's words, look, mate, who made your mouth? Remember, I'm God, now go, and I will teach you what to say. Moses again with an excuse, look, why don't you give me somebody else who can speak to help me? And there's no doubt that God got a little frustrated at Moses then, because Moses was trying to weasel out of doing what God had commissioned him to do, appointed him to do, and with that appointing came an anointing. We go to the story of the 10 spies, and we just see their unbelief. And again, we know how that outworked. They spent 40 years in the wilderness because of their unbelief. They'd just come out of Egypt. They'd just seen all these incredible signs that happened to Pharaoh and the Egyptians. They saw miracle after miracle after miracle. And yet, when it came to taking the promised land, they allowed unbelief to step in. In Numbers 13, 27, they told Moses, we went into the land and it does flow with milk and honey, but the people who live there are powerful and the cities are fortified and very large. And then Caleb said, we should go up and take possession of the land, for we can certainly do it. But the men who had gone up with him said, we can't attack those people. They are stronger than we are. How many times do we not pray for some situation or some person or some circumstance because unbelief gets in, meaning that we believe our unbelief more than we believe the power of God, our Creator God, the God who made everything. I love this scripture in Mark 9 because it actually speaks about how so often we feel. And straight away the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, but help my unbelief. Having unbelief is natural. Trusting in God and asking him to help us with our unbelief is spiritual. Let's do that. What about fear? Goliath, you know, I think of David and I think of the whole story of David and Goliath. Those soldiers who were trained, who were equipped, led a little pimple-faced boy who couldn't even stand in the weight of Saul's armor go up and fight for them. They had given up. They had allowed a giant to make mockery. And God showed them. How many times do we allow Goliaths in our lives to rob us from doing what God told us to do? And sometimes that's because we've been belted, we've been beaten down once, we haven't seen it happen the way we believe. And so we now allow fear of failure to move in and to rob us. Lack of boldness. You know, we are being sold so much PC rubbish in our media at the moment. We're being told we can't do this, we can't do that. It's about time we stood up and shared what the Bible says and what we believe. As I said, I had the joy of talking to a couple this week. We were talking about Smith Wigglesworth and just the mighty miracles that he did. And, you know, just looking at some of those things, those guys moved with boldness. I'm not moved by what I see, what I hear, what I fear. I move by what the Bible says, Smith Wigglesworth said. And they saw mighty things take place. You know, there's a book that Dale Carnegie wrote called How to Win Over Worry. And in that book, one of the chapters is what's the worst thing that can happen. Sometimes we allow the fear of the worst things to rob us from doing it. In this book, he talks about going up to a roller coaster or one of those game park things that are built and designed to scare the living daylights out of you. You know, they have all these signs, you know, if you've got heart attack, da 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 da, don't go on this, don't go on this, don't go on this. And then you end up not wanting to go on it because what could happen? And in his book, he says, stand there for a little while. Work out how long the ride is, 3 minutes. How many people are on the ride? 20. So you've got 20 by 20, that's 400 in an hour. How many people died in that hour? None. How many times did the machine break down? And none. The chances are that you won't die if you hop on that machine for 3 minutes. What's the worst thing that can happen? And that's what this leper's story is all about. It's a little bit of a tongue twister, but it just goes like this. If we go into the city, then the famine is in the city and we shall die there. But if we still sit here, we die also. Therefore come and let us fall under the host of the Syrians. If they save us alive, we live. If they kill us, we shall die. So their situation, in short, is no different to just doing nothing. What's the worst thing that can happen? To go up and say, God told me to pray for you. Well, you could get punched in the face. You probably wouldn't die, though. Or you could believe that you are obeying what the Holy Spirit is saying and that God has already gone before you. And the circumstances and the situations change and God gets the glory. What about not knowing what to say? Matthew 10:19, but when they deliver you up, take no thought how or what you shall speak, for it shall be given to you in the same hour what you shall speak. Sometimes I think we have too many training programs. We have too many classes. We try and bring it down to a program. When God just wants us to be instantaneous. He just wants us to do it because he's told us to do it. Of course, we do have an instruction manual. And we do need to look at the instruction manual. So let's look at the instructions that Jesus gave his disciples. We're using Matthew 10:5-42. And I just pulled these quickly. There's a far more things. And you can get the notes off the website. You can listen to the podcast again if you wish. But have a look at these things. In verse 5, he says, don't go to the Gentiles or the Samaritans. Go to the Jews. Wrong one. Thank you. In short, I get practice on people you know first. You know, there's plenty of sick people here. There's plenty of people that need God's power moved in them. There's plenty of people that could do with some prayer. As I say to people, I need your prayer, you need the practice. So practice on people you know first. That's what I get from that thing. In verse 7, preach the kingdom of heaven is near, heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons, freely you have received, freely give. In short, we have a scripture that tells us what we are to do. So if there's sick people, if there's dead people, if there's those that have leprosy, let's call it sin, driving out demons, if there's people that you know are bound, freely we've received it, now let's start to use it. And I know the more we use something, the more we get. And again, listening to Serge and others talk about prayer, the more you start to see results, the stronger and the larger your faith gets to see more. But if you don't do it, you're not seeing it, and therefore you're doubting it. So that's what we have to do. What's holding us back? Then in verse 11, whatever town or village you enter, search for some worthy person. Look around the crowd and let the Holy Spirit prompt you as to somebody that he wants you to pray for. It'll happen, guaranteed. If anyone will not welcome you or listen to your words, just shake the dust off your feet when you leave. Now, I'm certain that Serge, I'm using Serge because we're using Serge on a Sunday evening to demonstrate and to share what God has been doing in his life, which is exciting, which is incredibly and just faith building for so many. I'm sure that there are plenty of people that don't receive what Serge has to say and would like to reject him. Is that right, Serge? Are you awake, Serge? You know, all of us have had bad experiences. All of us have seen and done things that we haven't seen the results that we want. But the Bible says to wipe the dust off your feet. Just leave the past behind and move on. And we have, you know, Paul and Silas in Acts when they were thrown out of the city and they went into Iconium. And, you know, the situation was if they didn't move on and didn't wipe the dust off their feet, we wouldn't have seen 3,000, 5,000 people saved, ministered to like they saw. In verse 17 it says, be on guard against men. They will hand you over to local councils and flog you in the synagogue. Sounds good. On my account, you will be brought before governors and kings as witnesses to them. In short, as we're seeing in the world today, there are those that are going to want to persecute us, who want to give us a hard time, who want to make mockery of who we believe in. But let's not let that stop us from doing what God has told us. In fact, I believe that God will use those situations to our advantage. What the enemy means for bad, the Bible says God will turn around for good. But then in verse 19 it says, but when they arrest you, do not worry about what to say or how to say it. At that time you'll be given what to say. For it will be not you speaking, but the Holy Spirit of your Father speaking through you. As we step out in faith, as we do what God is telling us to do, and I'm not saying presumption, I'm saying what God is telling us to do, then we can guarantee that God will go before us. Verse 22, all men will hate you because of me, but he who stands firm to the end will be saved. When you are persecuted in one place, flee to another. I just see that as an encouragement just to keep on keeping on. Don't be afraid of those who can kill the body, but cannot kill the soul. Again, Dale Carnegie's principle, what's the worst thing that can happen? Well, they can kill you, but then you go to heaven. That'll be good. And then finally, verse 32, whoever acknowledges me before men, I will also acknowledge him before my Father in heaven. But whoever disowns me before men, I will disown him before my Father in heaven. I don't want to be a Christ denier. I don't want to run away because I'm chicken. Our church is here because it's a light on a hill. And I can tell you now, there has been much persecution and much opposition over the years for what we do and what we stand for. And I'm sure there will be in the future in all the ministries that we have. But we're here to declare God before men. You know, as I come to a close, Andy, last week at the Encounter service, talked about the list of people we were praying for, and we had that list. Can you put that list up for me, please, Liam? One of the things that Andy said, which just really struck me, he said, you know, we might have a big list and it might look like an insurmountable thing, and we could be saying, what's happening in this church? What's going wrong? But then we don't really get everybody who's had answered a prayer stand up and just testify of God's goodness and what God has done. And I can tell you now, there's an awful lot of people that have seen God move in their lives. Where's Ken Burchett? Ken, do you want to come up just for a second? Can I have a microphone, please? Thanks, Jill. You know, we've been praying for a lot of sick people, and we'll continue to pray. But last week, we brought Lisa Burchett out the front, and I want Ken just... briefly, Ken, just share the testimony, because it's great for people to hear the testimony. Do you mind doing that? Thank you.
Yeah, I'll be really quick. We felt under a bit of attack, actually, this year. We've had some fairly complicated circumstances in our life with work and other things like that. And then we pulled our kitchen out. And we just pulled the kitchen out and we got that call from the surgeon saying, come down and see us straight away. And so that was a bit of a facer for us. We, as this was only just after the ladies' camp, and we got the news that they'd found something that was they didn't like, And so Lisa had, we took it to our home group in prayer. We felt really strong, could almost measure the value of the prayer, the prayer support that we felt through our home group. We had surgery on Tuesday, and we know that we might be under attack, but our God is bigger. Surgery went pretty well. We had fantastic surgeons. We thank God for the medical assistance that we have in this country. We went back to see the surgeon on Thursday. The surgeon spent an hour with us, which is a miracle on its own, just debriefing us as to what had gone on. They said when we went in, we found no cancer. So we give God all the praise and all the glory. The surgeon spent an hour speculating as to how that might be. They think the biopsy took it all because they said we know it was cancer because the biopsy took cancer out. If that's what happened, praise God. I'm very happy for that. But Lisa's now been given a clean bill of health. The projected course of, well, not chemo, but they were thinking radiotherapy's all been cancelled. They said, we don't need it. That's all gone. And, I think the takeout for me is we serve a mighty God, and we have a great church family.
On that list, obviously, we have others, and we would love to see the same outworking. We have Julie Bale, whose prognosis is not good. We have Derek, whose prognosis is not good. Neil Murray. Neil, can I share your story? Neil Murray, as we shared a couple of weeks ago, they discovered some cancer on his liver that had gone into his lungs. Well, Neil had his biopsy during last week and the results this week, and the surgeon has said to Neil that there's nothing they can do. It's inoperable. It's in a place where they can't do anything. In fact, there's no treatment that they can give Neil. And so, you know, Neil needs one of those miracles. And as I said to Neil, and I know Neil's faith is in God. I know that he knows where he's going. But on the same token, when doctors say nothing can be done, what an incredible opportunity for a testimony of God. And of course, Nicole Gardner, we know about her situation. She goes in for operation on the 3rd of May. Jack Stewart is still going through his treatment of chemo, etc., for his leukemia. And then Hayden Doubley, who we let off a balloon for, or released a balloon for a couple of weeks. Now, his cancer, again, is just inoperable. And it's in a situation in his head. He needs a touch from God. We have plenty of opportunities to pray and to believe God to move in a mighty way. And of course, the other things on the other side are things that we're praying for. So let's think about this acorn right now. This acorn came from an acorn tree, or an oak tree, an acorn tree, an oak tree. I know where that oak tree came from. The seed of that tree out there was given to us by a family called the Lanossiers. And Andre Lanossiers' father had brought that seed, or that acorn, out from France in 1904. And because of the work that this church did for his son and his family, he said that he wanted us to have the last acorn. So he planted it and he grew a seedling. And that seedling was planted in that spot. And now that tree is a mammoth tree. I would say it's probably well over 25 years old now. The kids love it. In fact, you go out after church and you'd think that it was full of kids. It's moving so much. And they love the acorns. You hear them on the church roof when you're praying. But, you know, that acorn has within it the same gene pool that the original acorn had in it. And that planted in the ground will produce that. God has planted within us his spirit. And His Spirit in us can and will produce what He says we can do if we let it happen, if we plant it properly. Today, my challenge to you is to release the power that is within you. Start listening to that small, still voice. Start believing what the Word of God says about you. And if you haven't seen the fruit that you want to see and you're discouraged, then wipe the dust off your feet and keep on doing it. Don't stop. Don't fear failure. Don't fear persecution. Don't fear ridicule. Let's start to do what God's Word says. And if you're in my generation, and I say that in a nice way, and you have seen God move in times past, then it's time for you to start seeing God move again and doing the things that God has used you to do before. If you haven't seen the power of God move in a mighty way, then it's time for you to believe that God can move in a mighty way and that you're not going to be mocked by the enemy robbing you from believing what God's Word says. This morning, we're going to have family communion. We're going to break the church up into families. And I would like parents to share what communion is all about with their children or their family group. And then having done that, I would like us to put into practice what we've heard today. I'd like us to pray for this list of people. I'd like us to pray for those that we know that need to hear from God or need to know God. And even in your own group right now, if you have people that are sick, pray for them. And let's believe that we're going to see God move in a mighty way. It's time to see breakthrough. It's time to see the power of God released afresh and anew. Can we do that? So let's pray. Father, I pray that you would just move by your Spirit as we celebrate and enjoy family, Lord God, that there would be just a move of your Spirit this morning. And that, Lord, that you would outwork in each of our lives and that we would see faith built and we would see the fruit that takes place glorify your name and that people would believe because of what they see. So, God, have your way, I pray, in Jesus' name.